lunch and a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, it's Friday. Good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Hey, the wind's calmer than yesterday, but it's still breezy. Currently, it's 60 degrees here. The wind is out of the north, gusting up to 38 miles an hour. The Nathan Brewer dew point is 21. And the humidity is 22, so she is dry out there. And I'm going to change up things a little bit today, later in the show here shortly. My first break, I'm going to randomly call either a peanut farmer or a cotton farmer, because I know they're out harvesting their crops right now since the humidity's low and things are dry, so they got to start before lunch today. So I'm going to randomly call one and see if they'll answer their phone, and we're going to talk to them during one of the segments. I think it'll be fun. See what they got going on. Listen to the machines in the background, so we'll see what's going on. But meanwhile, first of all, let's get started out with the grains. Currently, as I've been a little bit ago in Oklahoma, cash prices on hard red winter wheat is $7.51. Corn is $5.62 a bushel. Milo is $5.65 a bushel. And soybeans are $11.73 a bushel. Looks like wheat, corn, and Milo, man, they're creeping up, which is good. It's good for all of us. Soybeans are higher in overnight trading, following soy oil higher amid concerns about global supplies of cooking oils. Palm oil futures in Malaysia were headed towards a second straight monthly gain and were up almost 1%. Soy oil and palm oil are competitors on the global cooking oil market. U.S. soybean oil prices are up 0.5%. this month after rising to the highest levels since July before a recent sell-off. And they haven't regained back from that sell-off either. It was in the 12s, and we're still in the $11 range. Still, soybean futures are headed for a fifth straight monthly decline. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, also a.k.a. USDA, said in a report earlier this month that it now sees stockpiles at the end of the 21-22 marketing year at 104.6 million metric tons, up from a prior outlook for 98.9 million tons. Inventories at the end of the previous marketing year totaled 99.2 million metric tons, according to the data from the USDA. Wheat was lower in overnight trading, backing off earlier gains amid some profit-taking before the end of the week and the month. Countering soybeans, wheat futures are headed for a fifth consecutive monthly increase. Russia said yesterday that production will rise to 123 million metric tons this year, down from a prior estimate. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange, however, raised its output forecast to 19.8 million metric tons from a previous projection. Soybean futures for November delivery rose 4 cents to $12.50 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal added $1.60 to $332.50 a short ton, while soy oil jumped 0.73 cents to 61.6 a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was unchanged at $5.62 and 0.75 cents. Add that on there too. I said all that too quick. A bushel. Wheat futures for a December delivery fell 6 cents to 766 and a half a bushel, while Kansas City futures dropped 8.5 cents to $7.81.5 a bushel. Well, export sales of grains and beans dropped a week to week, according to the USDA. Corn sales in 7 days that ended on October 21 declined to 890 1,400 metric tons, down 30% from the previous week and 10% from the previous four-week average that the USDA reported. Mexico was the biggest buyer at 492,900 metric tons, followed by Japan at 193,600 tons, and Colombia at 100,500 tons. An unnamed country bought 44,400 metric tons, and Panama took 19,000 tons. Exports for the week fell 34% to 688,500 metric tons, according to the USDA. Wheat sales last week totaled 269,300 metric tons and 31% from the average. Mexico bought 140,800 metric tons. That was a Butch Black deal there. Dang it, I hate doing those. Ecuador took 24,700 tons. Honduras purchased 22,600 tons, and Singapore was in for 22,000 tons even. And South Korea took 19,500 tons. Exports last week were reported at 185,600 metric tons, up 16% week to week. Soybean sales plunged 59,000 to 1.18 million metric tons, the agency reported. They also said that was down 62% from the four-week average. China purchased 1.08 million metric tons. The Netherlands bought 117,800 tons, and Mexico was in there for a whopping 93,900 tons. And then our friends over in Taiwan bought 71,600, and Pakistan took 69,000 tons even. The total would have been been way higher, but an unknown buyer nixed their shipments at 469,300 tons. That's a big order to just nix. Exports for the week were up 9% to 2.41 million metric tons, according to all this, the USDA reported. Well, cold weather is expected in parts of Kansas and extreme western Missouri as freeze warning and frost advisories are in effect, according to the National Weather Service. In far northeastern Kansas and a few counties in Missouri, temperatures overnight into Saturday are expected to fall to 31 degrees Fahrenheit. The freeze warning is in effect Saturday from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. In eastern Iowa and northern Illinois, meanwhile, north winds are forecast from 15 to 25 miles an hour, with gusts up to 35 miles an hour. Well, that ain't nothing. They should have been here yesterday. A cold snap is expected in the region for several days. Several nights of sub-freezing temperatures are expected next week, all through the mid-central United States, which includes Oklahoma. We are going to have a frost or a freeze sometime in towards the middle of next week. And rumors have it we might be getting a snow, but I doubt that's going to be true from what I've seen. But everybody remembers the day before yesterday what happened a year ago when we had that big ice storm coming through. Well, Hobart Stockyards had their sale Wednesday, and I just got a hold of the report, and I'm going to give you a few numbers before I go to break here. And this was at the Hobart Stockyards, and Mr. Rex Fleming down there, they had some steers averaging $5.39, bringing up to $1.63. They had some, let's go with some $5.48 heifers, average weight. They were bringing up to $1.50. Then we had some 900-pound steers, $9.28, and they were bringing up to $1.30. And then we got some big heifers here. Oh, here we go. 834 average weight on heifers, and they were bringing up to $1.32. And then we had some cows, butcher cows, average weight 1148, bringing up to 59 cents. So it looks like butcher cows are down just a little bit. And then we had bulls, average weight 1269, brought up to 88. Looks like they were down just a little bit, but not much, a couple cents, nothing to hurt the billfold too bad. And by the way, if you guys remember, I announced it last week, at the Hobart Stockyards, they are now doing their sheep and goat auction on the first Saturday of each month. So the first one is going to be next Saturday, November 6th at 12 noon. They start taking consignments probably right now. Get a hold of Mr. Rex Fleming, Mr. Smiley down there. Get a hold of him down there at the Hobart Stockyards, and he'll take care of that. But remember, the sheep and goat auction is next week. Well, when I get back, I'm going to see if I can get one of the local peanut or cotton farmers on the phone during break, because ones I know, I don't have that button to bleep out when they answer me what the blankety blank do you want or something. So I got to call them off air and then line them out, and maybe we can get them in. I hope I can get a hold of somebody during the break. You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
The first guy I called answered, so we're in trouble. Anyway, before we get to my special mystery guest, it's 60 degrees here. Winds out of the north at 26 miles an hour, gusting up to 38 miles an hour. Well, the first call I made was a peanut farmer out in Beckham County. Mr. Chad Ripito, are you online with me?
I am.
Well, welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you for having me.
How's it going out there? I know this is the first morning you guys have got to actually thrash peanuts before 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right. We got to start early. Of course, you nailed it on the humidity and the wind. The humidity's in our favor. The wind is not.
No, that wind wasn't supposed to be quite what it is right now today. They always get the wind right, but they messed up on the miles per hour today. Because I mean, it's a
yeah.
Are you guys about done with that field?
We like probably. I don't know. We'll be done in 3 hours.
Oh, cool.
I think we're going to run short on trucks. They should be back later on this afternoon. But we'll get done today if everything will stay right.
All right. What's so far, let all of our listeners out there that are not peanut farmers, how's the crop been this year so far?
The crop's been good. The yields have been high. The quality has been really high. You know, a standard grade on a peanut is 73. That's what you shoot for. Anything above 73, you get a little bonus. And I know I've talked to everybody, Bill Dance Jr. and Bradley and all them guys, including mine. Our grades have been in the upper 70s. Everybody's yields have been up there above what they expected. So we're pleased. Oh. We just didn't get Mother Nature to help.
Right. Yeah, because according to the USDA and all these reports, you know, and what Tyrone said yesterday, you know, we're supposed to be around in Oklahoma, supposed to be around a 4,100-pound average deal. So that's looking pretty good, I know, for the ones here in Beckham County.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that Beckham County will probably, the average will probably be higher than that when they get all the totals.
Oh, good. Well, you have a unique system out there that you need to explain to everybody about, you know, the simple way, or the way that's always been, is they drop trailers off, go get another load or hook onto another load, and you guys use the dumping hoppers to dump into the trailer. But that deal that you and Bradley have is cool. Will you explain everybody to what that is?
Well, it's just basically a bin that's on the ground. It's 16 foot wide, I think it's 60 foot long, 14 foot tall. It'll hold just about three semi-loads. And several years ago, when Bradley and I we got to talking, we was running short on trailers, and we found one of these down in Texas and decided to buy it. But if we didn't have this bin sitting here right now, we'd be shut down. We've done loaded two out, and we've got two loads in the bin, and we like three more loads. We'd be parked until they could get trucks back from Memphis.
Yeah, it's cool, and it's got what it does, it runs off a generator, and it's got a conveyor in the bottom of it. It's all slanted towards that conveyor, and then you have an outside conveyor that the trucks pull under and just start loading. I think it's neat. It's big and bulky, but it's a neat system.
Yeah, it is, and then it's also got a fan on the outload conveyor that blows part of the trash out, which... This year, I think there's several more guys. I think Tyler McIntyre's got one, and maybe Charles Cahey and them guys have got one. So it's been a good deal.
Well, explain to everybody what that fan is blowing the debris away, but where does that help you?
Well, on your grades on peanuts, it's called foreign material, which is straw, leaves, cracked holes. If you have a higher percentage than what their chart is, I'm not for sure what it is, they will dock you in price for foreign material, which is leaves, pieces of plant, or whatever. And that fan, especially today, we've got the conveyor pointed to the south, which the wind's out of the north, and it's blowing a lot of the debris out.
Yeah, especially if you add the wind behind it.
Yeah, it has been. It's been, it's helped our grades probably, you know, a point or two since we bought this thing.
And that's money in the bank.
That's money in the bank.
One last question.
Show pig money is what that is.
Yeah, I guess so. So does Jancy get any points extra that you guys do? Is that what you're telling me?
No.
Okay.
That's just more money for me and her to go pig shopping.
Oh, I got you. One more question before I let you go so you get back to concentrating on what you're doing there, because that's a big old thrasher you run there. What do you think is farmers and ranchers' worst fear right now with the way things are?
The worst fear is price and availability. I actually talked to a guy last night that had been out in West Texas. And, of course, you know, we waited 4 days on an injector pump for my dad's machine.
Yep.
A guy in West Texas told this guy that they're actually going to these college kids, and let's say that we need a part out of Stillwater, and we can't get it shipped. there's a group of college kids. I'm sure they grew up together, have been acquainted through ag or sports or something. They are like a kid at Stillwater will go to Perry or wherever and pick up the injector pump, let's say, and they might meet somebody at Weatherford, another college kid, and that kid at Weatherford might take it on to Amarillo and meet the guy.
Really?
So availability and price is our biggest concern right now.
Yeah, because equipment prices are up. Fuel is just off the chart right now. And, you know, and it don't look like it's going to go down anytime soon.
No, I don't think it is. I'm actually going to fill up my big tank probably Monday. I'll call the guys at Flow Fuel and tell them to get them all topped off. But, no, we've been fortunate. We've had a good season. We should be done here in about 2.5 or 3 hours. And I think Brian and Bandy, I talked to him earlier, they still like, oh, they're hoping they can get 5 good days and be done. I think Mark and Casey still like quite a bit. But, nope, we'll be done and get some rye sowed and then maybe see who needs a little help.
Yeah, I figured that was coming. So I knew that was coming. Too many people. But, you know, that's the deal. That's the thing about farmers. That's just like when you got started because you had some of yours dug early, your dad and me come over and helped you. And then when you got to the point where you just got through digging, but your dad had some down, you went over there. I know it's a father-son deal, but it's still a farmer deal that everybody tries to help everybody get done because we got some bad weather coming up. You know, might not be terrible next week, but we're not very far away from having some crappy weather that ain't going to be worth nothing.
No, it's not. And it goes back, you know, few years ago on Larry Thomas's deal, you know, everybody dropped what they was doing and come and help him. We're just going to help our neighbors.
Yeah, that's what it's about. I remember that very well. That actually made the TV station. I don't even remember how many diggers were over there. I don't know how many thrashers and how many bumper carts were over there, but it was pretty cool. I think I counted 16 or 17 tractors. I don't remember, but that was a cool deal.
I think Bradley's boy River, he's got a drone footage of that. I think it's on my phone somewhere, but, you know, that's who we are and what we are. So,
yep. Well, Chad, you have a great day, and thanks for joining me on the show and not making me use the bleeper button.
No, I think Mother Nature may have beat you out of your hay baling job out here. So.
We'll see. We'll find out. It's sitting there. We're going to try. Anyway,
all right, Jimmy, appreciate it.
All right, have a great day.
You too.
Yep. Well, if you were just joining us, that was Chad Rippetoe. They're out there thrashing peanuts right now, which everybody is. Damerons, Silks, just everybody's thrashing peanuts right now because when the humidity is very low like it was this morning, you can actually get started real early. And up until today, they've had to been waiting until 1, 2 o'clock for it to start drying out because those peanuts won't pick off the vines very good through the combine if too much humidity. But well, when we come back, I got some garden. I've been slacking on the garden part, and people like my garden stuff. I got a little deal about mulch on your garden right now, and I got some cattle stories, and I got a nitrogen story, and I actually have a cotton update from the National Cotton Council today. I had some help lining that out to get it on the show, and it's going to be the first one I do today, and I'm going to do at least one a week now with the Cotton Council, and that's for you cotton farmers out there. So hopefully next week I can get a cotton farmer on here while they're stripping cotton if the weather's persistent, and the cotton farmer will answer the phone. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 22nd. 1,953 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 348 brought 175. 13 at 540 brought 142. 8 at 584 brought 143. 10 at 646 brought 142.50. 25 at 706 brought 141. 6 at 875 brought 145. 8 head of heifers at 434 brought 137. 5 at 503 brought 145. 10 at 539 brought 136. 3 at 577 brought 133. 8 at 761 brought 137. 25 at 896 brought 115. Butcher cows were 2 to 77. Bred cows 600 to 1400. Butcher bulls 55 to 9250. Pairs brought 850 to 1725. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier, and that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back. That was kind of cool to call a farmer out there in the field and in the middle of something, really doesn't want to talk to me, probably, because they're busy. And if, for you guys that's never been around a peanut thrasher, there's something always constantly to watch. Precision farmer, putting it in autopilot and playing on your iPad is not the thing you're going to do on a peanut thrasher. And I'm probably pretty sure you're not going to do that on a in a cotton stripper or picker. Well, anyway, why I'm remembering to do this before I don't remember. My wife doesn't like me using the word forget. Saturday, November 13th, special replacement sale at the Hobart Stockyards in Hobart, Oklahoma. Right smack there in Kiowa County, they will be having replacement cows and heifer sales, the whole nine yards. For any questions, for either you got something you want to consign or if you want to buy any and check on what's coming in, call Mr. Rex Fleming down there at the Hobart Stockyards, and they'll help you out. And there's also a special cow sale going on Saturday, November 13th at noon at the Apache Auction Market in Apache, Oklahoma. So for more information on that, you can actually get on www.stockmanoklahoma.com. That's our call at the Apache Auction Market, and they'll help you out down there. So anyway, we got lots of sales. Cattle sales have fired up in the last couple weeks, and they're going to be going on pretty strong in the for now till late next spring. Bert Hudson's got one coming up in January, and I'll hit on here on the next segment. You know, Hudson Cattle Company always has a great sale right here in Elk City. And if you guys know of any sales or you're having one yourself, don't be bashful about letting me know on the KECO text line at 580-225-9697, and I will put it on the air on here. And just let me know. That's all I got. Well, mandates cost producers. That's a question. That's the headline, but it's posed as a question. Was in a response to a recent Texas A&M publication, the Industry Observer didn't like the message, so he decided to simply attack the messenger. Texas A&M University and College Station is so far removed from commercial cattle feeding that they have to pay admission to even watch. That was a pretty cheap shot, according to the report on the U.S. beef supply chain. Issues and challenges. Results from collaboration of 17 ag economists representing 12 land grant institutions. Similarly, the RCAF USA criticized the report, but with more of a conspiracy approach. We witnessed the scenario several times during the past two decades. Each time, cattle producers have offered meaningfully marketplace reforms. A cadre of experts are enlisted to defend that status quo. Congress needs to see through this and take steps to fix our chronically dysfunctional market. That's not surprising. The organization routinely sidesteps economic principles and works to undermine the beef industry's success during the past 20 years. Now, I'm not siding with nobody here. I'm reading reports. I'm letting you guys decide what you guys believe because each of them's got to go. And I'm putting it on the air so you people know about it. And so the report's critics leave us with two options. One, the authors don't know anything because they either work or are at work with the Texas A&M University. Or two, the authors actually are industry experts, but for whatever reason, they're motivated in regulating the industry to status quo. Never mind the critics. The third option available here, we recognize the authors are truly professional experts. They possess meaningfully their commitment to their discipline and operate with judicious objectivity. Accordingly, we acknowledge the findings make sense in the real world, regardless of whether we like them or not. To that end, the author summarized 12 main findings, including, while not necessarily a popular position, most economic research confirms that the benefits to cattle producers due to economies of size and packing large offset the cost associated with any market powered by packers. Research indicates that there is a market power, but its effect has been small. While some argue that the imposing mandatory minimums are negotiated or cash transactions would improve price discovery in the Fed markets, occurring benefits to the cow-calf producer in the process. Authors in this book argue it could have the opposite effect, potentially imposing huge costs that are passed down to cattle producers in form of lower prices. With this in mind, perhaps the most sad portion of this deal is found in the first chapter. Dr. Darrell Peel from Oklahoma State University details the industry's complexity and history, in which he quotes twice Dr. Wayne Purcell, Virginia Tech University, dating back to 1999. The big danger is that all this attention on short-run and highly visible issues will block recognition of the problems that are long-run and structure in nature, and in the process prevent efforts to move the programs and policies that have limited chances of helping. In other words, market leverages, ebbs and flows, but principles are enduring. That is, the report appropriately cautions against implementing government regulation and local focus on the consumer. That would leave industrial participants worse off, if not better. Therefore, there's not a question, but rather an exclamation mark that ends in the statement. Mandates cost producers. So that's the end of my story on that deal. So anyway, that's it's just a story that was a very interesting read, because you guys know that the hot news ever since I started this show has been the packers and producers. We got so many cattle organizations out there, whether it be the Checkoff or Oklahoma Cattle Commission or the Texas Cattle Commission or whatever, RCAF. There's lots of things going on out there, but my personal opinion, for what it's worth, and you can go tell me to fly a kite, my personal opinion is we don't need any more government mandates in our cattle market. We need to solve this ourselves. We've always resolved this ourselves over the last 30 or 40 years that I know of since I started paying attention to the cattle market. And I know you're probably going, shut up, Jimmy, but I'm telling you, it's one of those deals. We need to resolve this ourselves. And there's more to the story than we're seeing. If you guys want to waste your time and get on there and watch what Congress is going to do for you on cattle stuff, you're more than welcome to, because I've already wasted two of my hours of my life watching when they were all up to bat there, having the big Congress meeting, and they had people coming in there, and all they was worried about, what are you going to do for my state? This is what I did for my state. This guy up in Nebraska made a lot of money, but this guy in Oklahoma didn't. Just, if you want to waste your time, get after it and watch. It's a two-hour video when they had those meetings there a couple months ago. Just go ahead and waste your time. But on the good side of this, let's go to cotton. In a period of even greater supply chain scrutiny and a growing demand for the transparency, the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol Program is measuring and verifying U.S. cotton producers' progress towards sustainability through data collection and independent third-party verification. Membership in the program has many benefits, including members-only educational opportunities like the upcoming webinar series. The first session of this series is scheduled for Thursday, November 4th, which that's next week. And Janice Walkers, members of the Trust Protocol Communications, teams up with H&K Strategies and joins us with more details.
The U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol was launched in 2020, and it is a farm-level, science-based program that is setting a new standard in more sustainably grown cotton. The program was created building off of the efforts of U.S. cotton growers from the past 35 years. The cotton industry established 10-year goals for continuous improvement in six environmental sustainability metrics. The Trust Protocol will document the continuous improvement of participating growers. It is a farm-level, science-based program for the U.S. cotton industry that is setting a new standard in more sustainably grown cotton. The Trust Protocol helps cotton growers meet the changing demands from their end customer while also better documenting and verifying the sustainability practices that are already incorporated into their farms. We know that continuous improvement is important both to the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol as well as cotton growers in general. They are always looking to better their farms. The first webinar for members only is going to be offered the first week of November, and it is going to be around soil health, which was the number one topic that they wanted to learn about. And it is with Dr. Christine Morgan with Soil Health Institute. Dr. Morgan will share information about management decisions related to soil health, including the economics, resources, and additional actionable items. So we know that research and academics are a key place of where cotton growers and farmers in general get a lot of their information. They are going to be looking at continuous improvement, specifically the six metrics that the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol is based around and built around, and they are going to be providing an in-depth look at the research that's being done in the field and how it can be incorporated into their farms. If there are cotton growers that are interested in joining the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol, they can visit our website, trustuscotton.org, and click the Join Now button. If they would like to participate in the virtual webinars that are coming up, then they can also go to our website and reserve their
seat. This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First of all, last Tuesday, October 26th, we sold 942 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, October 28th, we sold 2,446 calves and feeders for a total of 3,388 cows for the week. Tuesday, better cow and cows bring 71 to 80. Thin cows bring 40 up to 66. Bulls bring 70 up to 95 and a half. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 1,000 to 1,475. With a 5 to 8 year old bred cow, 785 to 1,300. 2 to 8 year old pairs, 900 to 1,525. Very aggressive feeder market, $2 higher, even the A weights and above, up to $10 higher. 100 steer cattle, 3 to 350 steer, 182 to 206. 4 to 450, 178 to 180. 5 to 550, 165 to 177. 6 to 650, 149 to 160. 7 to 750, 158 and a half to 160. 8 to 850, 152 to 164. And our 9 to 950 steer, 150 to 161.75. We sell 24 black steers, weighing 943, bring 161.75. 33 mixed color steers, 802, 164. 12 planter steers off the same deal, weighed 841, bring 155. Some cattle out of a growing lot, 976, bring 147.5 at the same brothers, 915 at 153. Pages to sell where we have 14 feeder buyers, some sale barns have about three. Hunter heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 151 to 173, 4 to 450, 136 to 149, 5 to 550 heifers, 137 to 154, 6 to 650, 138.5 to 152.5, 7 to 750, 150 to 152.5, 8 to 850, 137 to 149.5, and 9 to 950 heifers, 133 to 141. Extremely good feeder market. For this Tuesday, November 2nd, we do have 40 bred cows and pairs. We got 45 other bred cows. Again, we had 24 black steers weighing 943, 160, 175, 33 802, bring 164. Cattle out of a growing lot weighing 976, bring 147.5. Give us a call. Thanks to Gary Nine and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. Yes, sir. I'm back. We got the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. Hope you guys enjoyed that cotton report. I'm going to do that once a week. Pretty good information there. Cotton farming is very big in our area, in our whole listening area. So anyway, I just want to assist you guys in learning more about your cotton. Well, anyway, the Long Ranger forecast here. I don't want that one. I want this one. There we go. Currently, it's 63 degrees in Elk City. Winds are north-northwest at 25 miles an hour. Wind gusts are way up there, 34 miles an hour. High today, 67. Tomorrow, 75 and no wind. It's going to be – tomorrow's probably the last pretty day of the year as far as I'm concerned. From looking at the long ranger, I mean, really pretty day. I'm not going to say it ain't going to be decent on any of these days, but tomorrow's going to be nice. 64 Sunday, partly cloudy Monday at 62. Low Monday night, 39 degrees. And high on Tuesday, 50. And mostly cloudy. So here we go. Hope we get a chance. We need some rain in there. We're still, actually, if you read the drought report, we're still in the drought, even though we've got some rains to get up, some of our wheat, true to cow and rye, looking good. Man, there's some good-looking wheat pasture. When I say wheat pasture, you guys just remember, I'm talking about rye and true to cow, the whole nine yards. The green pasture, let's call that. And matter of fact, next Wednesday on my show, the second segment, I'm going to have a veterinarian in here, Dr. Taylor Mouse, and she's going to give out some pointers on stuff before you turn your cattle out on wheat pasture as far as bloat, preventing bloating. And she's also going to, as dry as it's got, you know, dust ammonia can come back into play here, especially on cattle that are being winged right now. So don't miss next Wednesday. And we got some gentlemen in here, Mr. Bert Hudson. And Jops is going to be in here Monday on my show talking about the independent cattleman deals coming up here pretty quick, couple weeks over at Clinton that I've announced a few times. So anyway, that's coming up. If anybody, I got some tickets to give away real quick. If anybody wants to go see Ronnie Millsap this Saturday at Sugar Creek Casino, I got two tickets, a pair of tickets to give away. The first person to text in their name, and you gotta say, "I love Chad harvesting peanuts." When you got that in there, thrashing peanuts. You can put three thrashing peanuts. "I love Chad thrashing peanuts." You got a free set of tickets. Don't forget to put your name in on that text line, 580-225-9697. Anyway, so here we go. Justin Hancock is a horticulturist, or I didn't even say that close to right, from Costa Farms. He says the biggest misconception about mulch is that it's meant to keep plants warm. The cycling of freezing and thawing is hard on shrubs and flowers, the whole works, so mulch should be put down after the soil starts to freeze. If you think about the way water works, when it freezes, it expands. And if you think about around the plant roots, that constant freezing and thawing can push plants up out of the ground and expose them to cold damage, says Hancock. But if you wait until the soil freezes and then you lay down your mulch, you're going to keep it nice and cold during those winter thaws, and you're not going to see near as much cold damage. So basically what he's saying is wait for it to get cold, then put your mulch down, and then leave it right there. How deep your mulch depends on where you live, what you're growing, and what your pests are. And this is for gardens also. For example, if you have problems with voles and rodents, don't pile mulch so deep or you'll be offering them a cozy nest to burrow in. 2 to 3 inches is usually sufficient. The mulch you use should have good insulative value and air pockets. Shredded wood and pine needles are popular options. Hancock says to do not use big whole leaves. What can happen is that when they get wet, they stick to each other and you end up with a plastering and you don't have good aeration around there. So if you're not getting a good insulative value, but then you can also eventually form a mat. It makes it really hard for air and water to cycle through the soil that way, the way it should. And you can run into rot or disease problems with your plants. So in other words, use wood chips and pine needles and not leaves. If you put leaves in there, at least grind them up. In the spring, remove the mulch just before the plants emerge. If you leave it on too long, the plants can suffocate as they start to grow. We got some text messages. Whoa, here we go. Let me see here. Melissa Frederick, you're the winner. Chicken dinner. She says, "I love Chad thrashing peanuts." So anyway, we got the winner there. Thanks, Melissa, for listening. And then Beckham County 4-H has a silent auction going on for you, for everybody. November 9th, they'll be hosting a silent auction benefiting the Beckham County 4-H. This will be both online and featured on the Beckham County 4-H page, I'm guessing on Facebook, and in person at the Beckham County Fair Barn in Sayre. So all donations will be tax deductible and will benefit the Beckham County 4-H clubs for the following year. Donations will be due at the extension offices by 4:30 on Friday, November 5th. If you would like more information, call Mr. Zach Henderson at 580-928-2139, or you can even email him at zach.henderson@okstate.edu. And he says, give a big thank you guys for doing this. And so anyway, come on, everybody help out on this Beckham County 4-H silent auction. You guys totally disappointed me on the heifer calf that I was wanting to buy over there at K-Bar Ranch that brought $29,000. Is probably going to go into a home and probably going to breed her and have embryos and do flushing and kind of like make millions off of this heifer. And you guys, wife or ex-wife or girlfriend or daughter or mom, I would have named that calf after them, whoever you'd have picked, and you'd have been worldwide recognition. But you failed me. Don't do this to the Beckham County 4-H. They're great. If any of you other guys are listening out there, Kiowa County, Greer, Warshtaw, Custer, Roger Mills, any counties, any guys out there in Texas, Wheeler, man, I'm not even going to say that other county that Canadian's in, but anyway, Hippel, there, I knew it. I knew I'd get it. You guys, if you got anything going on with your 4-H or FFA and you want to announce, just please feel free to text in and get it. One more story here. When people on public water systems turn on the faucet for a glass of water, they usually assume it's fit to drink. But if your water comes from a private well, which most of us that live in the rural areas does, it's up to you to routinely test your water to make sure nothing harmful has found this in the way. This is funny that I'm reading this story and Zach just texts me that deal. Henderson, you can go to your local OSU Extension office with your water samples and they will, each extension agent for each county will send them off for you. Well, I'm thinking about that. David Hendricks is the president of Bergeson Caswell, a groundwater service company in Minnesota. He recommends testing your water at least once per year. The odds that your water system is going to develop a problem is moderately low, but it's one of those situations where unless you test, you don't know. So testing once a year for things like bacteria, nitrates, and other regionally applicable things like maybe manganese or might be a good thing to keep an eye on this. So there are several ways to do that, and I just named one of them. Your local well contractor can test water. You can buy a home testing water kit, or you can collect a water sample and send it to the lab. I highly recommend that you send it to a lab and have it tested for everything. You can test it from your kitchen faucet. Is one of the most highly used points in your house for water use. Now we are testing your whole system. So testing at kitchen faucet allows you to see what's going on in your entire system. And it doesn't hurt to get those water wells tested out there where your cattle are watered. Because especially down in the breaks during the summer, some of them things can go bad. But anyway, well, I want you guys to have a great weekend. I'm going to go change back in my dirty clothes and see if I can go get in the last 2 hours of peanut thrashing. It's finally over for me. Anyway, maybe. I don't know. It looks like I might get volunteered for something else. Hey, you guys, remember also, Elk City Livestock Auction is going on right now, and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be going on Monday. Contact Mr. Brandon Hickey. You guys have a great weekend. God bless. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Kick it into overdrive. Cool.